years. But to manage that first ball game, I went by the office that morning and before the game talked to Phil, and he says, "You ought to put yourself in the lineup." I said, "What?" He says, "You ought to put yourself in the lineup because you know you do some real good things when the pressure's on." I said, "You got to be crazy." So I went downstairs and I thought about it and I said, okay. So I put myself in the second spot in the lineup. And people asked me later on, why second? I said, well, because I could move the runner over, I could bunt, this type of thing. So the first time up, you know, nobody on, and there's Medich was on the mound, and it was photographers all over the on deck circles. I mean, I couldn't move, and when it's my turn to hit, with nobody, I'm trying to find my way to home plate, and the flash bulbs are going off and whatever. And I got up and got in the batter's box, and my mind was really blank. I didn't think so at the time, but it was. First pitch comes in, strike one. Second pitch come in, breaking ball. I thought was low. I turn around and says, the umpire says, you didn't think that was a strike? I said, no, I didn't think so. He says, yeah. So now it's 0-2. So now Medich decides he wants to side on me. And I just happened to just flick the bat like that and foul it off. And I stepped out and I said, this man is not reading your press clippings. This is my big day. And he's trying to embarrass me on my day by trying to strike me out on three pitches. He's not side even going to waste a pitch. Yeah, I said, he's not even going to waste a pitch. So I worked the count to 2-2, and then I hit a slider, a line drive to left field, left center field, and I was running. And in Cleveland in those days, you know, the field itself was kind of built up, and it's tilted like this right off the line, right just like this, tilted down there so the water could, you know, go off the field. And I'm running and watching it, and I trip and almost fall on my face. And I watch it, and I almost trip again and fall on my face. And I finally got my legs under me, and I went around. The ball did go get over, clear the fence, and I'm running around. And I get to third base, and Dave Garcia, third base coach, left me. I'm coming home, and I see the guys out there. And that kind of dawns on me what has happened, because I'm just running around the base. And they were all up there, and boom, and I go like this to Rachel Robinson and my wife and family and up there in the box, and go to the dugout. Now I got to turn myself to manager now. And we wind up winning the game 5-3. Gaylord Perry's a pitch. He gives me the last ball of the winning baseball. And afterwards, everything. But I was kind of numb. It was a great moment, and a great moment in the history of baseball. And I thought about the comment that Jackie had mentioned about the wanting to be alive to see African-American in the dugout over there. And
what are the hard things about?
Yeah, that's
you know,
that's
Yogi
tough.
Has a way. I mean, people.
Yeah.
Frank, talk about the art of managing. You've been doing it a long time. You started out, obviously, reasonably young, managing. What are the managing skills? How has it changed over the years? Well, what does it take to be a good manager?
Number one, you have to try to be your own self. Don't try to emulate anybody else or be someone else or be worried about what someone would be thinking about your moves before you make them. The one thing that makes a good manager is good players, really. If you have the players and they perform the way they're supposed to play, it makes it easy to manage. And, you know, me as a hitter, I knew hitting, I knew position players. And the toughest thing, and I think for anyone in this game, and it still is today for me, when do you take a pitcher out, or when do you leave him in? I think Grady Little has found out that that could cost you your job. Francona now today is being criticized for doing the same thing that Grady Little did. But there's no one way to do it. What you have to do is go off of your feelings and what you know about your personnel. The one thing about managing, learn your personnel.
Now think about the managers that you knew. Are there some that you think about as you manage, or that you take some from the various managers you knew? So talk about the managers that impressed you and what you took from each one of them, if you will.
You do. You try to take something, but again, you have to be Frank Robinson, the manager, and that's what it comes down to. But I took something from Bertie Tibbetts. I took something with so his communication skills, basically.
Younger players.
Younger players especially, but you have to now spread that over everyone now, all your players. I took something from Freddie Hutchinson. You have to communicate and talk to your players, you know, that type of thing. You just can't let them sit out there and communicate through your coaching staff. Mel Smith was there for a short period of time. He just said, go out and play. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. You can't allow players just to go out and play. Jimmy Dykes was there for a few ball games. Boys, just go up and swing the bat. You can't do that. You have to kind of keep control of the players at all times. But what you want to do is communicate. It's very important to communicate with your players on a daily basis now. That's how it has changed. You know, everybody said, I want to know my role. Well, in the old days, it wasn't no such thing. If you weren't starting, you was on the bench. If you wasn't starting pitchers, you were in the bullpen. You were in the bullpen. And that was your roles. But nowadays, you have to spell it out in spring training. This is your role. And when the season starts, you have to spell it out again. And during the first month of the season, you have to spell it out again. Everybody wants to know their role and continue to know their role throughout. And communicating is probably the most, and dealing with the press are probably the two toughest things as far as being a good manager, because I've learned to communicate. Because I used to think I was low maintenance. I was low maintenance throughout my career. You didn't have to talk. A manager didn't have to talk to me every day. But today, you almost have to talk to the players every day. And the way I communicate and understand the ones that you could just say hello to, and that's communicating with them that day. Or talk to a player about last night's game, a little bit about his at-bats or his pitching performance. That's communicating a little bit. And other ones, you got to go over and pump up a little bit because he had a tough night or whatever. Or he needs that hands-on type of thing. But you have to do a little bit each day. And I make sure that I walk through the clubhouse each day just to say hello to some of the guys and say it, or let them see me and talk to them. A joking kid with them. I had the most fun with the ball club is this year's ball club right here that I had. A lot of younger guys on the ball club, and I could joking kid with them a lot. And they were
people
able to
again 50 years from now. We're talking about 2004, a team in Montreal that was owned by Big League Baseball and very limiting circumstance. And you obviously did a terrific job. I think baseball should thank you profusely. But it's interesting you thought it was a fun year.
Well, it was. The first 2 years, as I said the other day, I said, you know, this job was only supposed to be for 1 year. Yeah. And if I'd have known it was going to last for 3 years, I don't know if I'd have taken it when the commissioner asked me to take the job in Montreal when Major League Baseball took over this team. And that's the way I was approaching it, going in for 1 year, because I didn't want to manage anymore, really. But I thought that would be a good situation just to get back and do something. And we played well, finished second the first year, was in the wild card race up until the last week of August the second year. And then we started dealing away my better players. And the one that took the heart out of me is when Guerrero left, and we got nothing in return as a free agent. And this was going to be a tough year, but the players, we got off to a terrible start. First half of the season, we couldn't win a ball game, no matter how. But we pulled it together after the All-Star break. And what did it was the players stayed together. They worked hard. They gave the effort each day out there. And that's all I asked of the players. And we've stayed together. We had a good second half, over 500 for most of the second half of the season. And this was a fun group because I could joke and kid with them on a daily basis. You know, I said to Brian Snyder the other day, he was in a slump. And, you know, slump, you're coming back to the dugout, you know, almost there. And I said, how's your right leg holding up? He says, what? I said, how's your right leg holding up? He says, what do you mean? I said, well, you're always going down to first base and you're turning right. Turning right. I said, and that leg is getting a little shorter than the other one, isn't it? I said, get a hit where you can use your other leg once in a while. And get out of here. Those type of things. But this year, again, it was all the players' effort that was put in, the coaching staff, the front office people. But it was mostly the players and the coaching staff that prepared these players, and they knew how I run a game. They know how I want players to play the game and to prepare themselves, and they worked hard with those players each day to get them to play. And it's been a fun year.
Oh, I'm sorry. Again, for people 50 years down the road, it's important for them to know, I think, that you are one of the handful of players who hit over 600 home runs. You held your own with Mays and Aaron. Where do you think you stand as far as the greatest players ever to play this game? And I don't want you to feel like we're asking you to be immodest, but...
Well, I'm not. I'm not. I never indulge in that, grade myself, or placing myself. I leave that for others, really. I do. I had a good career, you know. 586 home runs, you know. It doesn't look as important anymore when these guys are going by me now. You know, Barry and Sammy and those guys. In the end, you know what's going to happen? Down the road, people are going to say, well, you're talking about Frank Robinson and being a great home run hitter. Well, why is he 52nd on the all-time home run list? What's he doing right down there if he was such a great home run hitter? But it's times. It's the times that have changed. And people, do you resent Barry Bonds and these guys passing? I said, no. I passed a lot of people on my way up. And that's what baseball is all about. And, you know, that type of thing. I admire Barry. I'm happy for him. So I guess Sammy is probably next to go by me, and then Junior if he stays healthy. You know, where I belong, or where I play with some outstanding players. And what bothered me in the days when there was Aaron Mays and Clemente, and then they would say Robinson. And all I said, hey, I'm having a good year. I think I'm as good as these guys. Mention me in the same breath, will you, at least one time? Just say Mays, Aaron, Clemente, and Robinson, something like that.
When you were recapping 66 a few minutes ago, you said you finally got the recognition. Yeah. Did you have to literally get out of the National League and away from those three gentlemen to get that?
Yeah. Yes, I think so, because, you know, and I'll say it myself, and it came to me, and I'd rather never realize until 66, after 66, I never led the league in anything in the National League. Because if I hit 37 home runs, somebody hit 38 or 9. If I hit 342, someone hit 345, you know, that type of thing. So I never led in the league in anything. I won the Most Valuable Player Award. I came close in another time, but I never led anything until I went to the American League. And that may be a trivia question, because I led the league in all three categories that year and won. And not only got the recognition on the field, I think, but also personally. People start to understand Frank Robinson, the person also. And that's what that year, 1966, did for me and continued on. And started to get more of respect from baseball people, and to this day. But baseball, I've enjoyed it, baseball. I don't know what I would have done. People ask me, what would you have done if you wasn't a baseball player? I have no idea. I don't even think about those things, because what I'm doing at the time gets my full attention. What am I gonna do next will get my attention when I feel like it's time to move on to something else. And as long as I'm healthy and feel like I have something to contribute to baseball and give, I'd like to stay in baseball in some capacity, because this gets in your blood. And people don't understand what that means unless you've been in this game. And I think golfers could equate to this, because, you know, if you never played a game of golf, you know, you say, ugh, it's just a game. And people told me, if you ever play it, it gets in your blood. It gets in you. And I said, bull. Anything I don't get paid for, nothing can consume me. But it's true. And it's the same way with this game. Some guys don't want to stay in it. Some do. I'm a lifer. And I've been very fortunate to have a family that understood that, never interfered with what I wanted to do in baseball, even though it inconvenienced them an awful lot. They always adjusted to what I wanted to do.
I think we're at the end, Frank, and we're going to say thank you to you, because you're a working man and you've got to go to work here in New York tonight. But the last question is always the same for everyone we ask. You're now looking in the camera and you're addressing people who are going to push the button at the Hall of Fame, and they're going to see you 50, 75 years from now. And the question is the obvious one. How do you want baseball fans, how do you want baseball to think about you at the end of the day? How do you want all of us to remember you?
Well, that is a tough question. And I really don't know, because I haven't thought about it, because I think I have a lot more to give before I'm through, so they're going to have a lot more thinking to do.
We'll come back and do it again.
No, this is tough. But I just like people to think of me as this guy. It was a winner. He played the game the way it's supposed to be played. and he was a team player. And if they think of me that way, that would be great.
Well, Frank Robinson, we thank you very much. Thank you for your time. We're very
thank
grateful.
You for having me.
Thank you.
If you can just settle for 15 seconds, I just want to get ambient room tone, and please, everybody.